And then it occurred to me, what luck.
Okay.
I
so,
swore a solemn
my family was really intense.
I was invited to a party.
Totally different. I come from a large Irish Italian Catholic family.
And that should be your cue that it's Wednesday night, and we have stories from Exfabula on Wednesdays. Right after the news at 9 o'clock, Leah Delaney is here at her customary corner, in microphone number 2. How are you doing tonight?
Nobody puts Leah in the corner, Bruce. I'm good. How are you?
Try and get out of there. yes, we bring live stories from events past of Exfabula. It is storytelling from people from around here. True stories, real life stuff, no notes. You know, you can't write on the palm of your hand like you did in high school. You go up there and tell true extemporaneous stories, and the results are often amazing. And we bring you some of the best ones on the radio on Wednesday nights. And this week's is kind of lined up in conjunction with the next Exfabula event.
Yes, which is on Saturday on the 24th at Anodyne Coffee and Bruce. We will be doing, we're actually collaborating with a fantastic band in Milwaukee called Panalure. We're going to be incorporating stories within the music that is going to be provided by this fantastic band made up of Milwaukeeans.
We liked the concept so much, we said, can we come and play? We're going to bring our recording equipment over and record the whole thing, you know, the music and the stories, and put it together for a nice little radio package, because it's an interesting concept, and we want everyone to hear it, and if want everybody to go see it, too. But, you know, it belongs to be out, needs to be out there on the radio, too.
Yeah, Milwaukee Stories, Milwaukee Radio, UW-Milwaukee, I mean, come on.
Hey. It's all good stuff. So what's the first story tie-in? Oh, the theme, by the way. I love the theme. Oh,
yeah, because it's the theme for the event coming up on Saturday, which is love, lust, and murder.
Mm.
So, of course, we don't have any actual murder stories because...
I was going to say, I could tell stories of 2 out of those 3, but...
Oh, well, I think our audience would like to hear those, Bruce. Yeah,
so much for the love one, though.
Yeah. Aw. Mm, a little violin. Okay. Well, we do have a couple of stories regarding love and lust. Our first story tonight is a duo, which is one story told by 2 people at the same time. And these duos work the best when the 2 people know each other really, really well. So it's almost to a point where you know the story so well. You've told it so many times and at 3 a.m. in the middle of a kitchen at a party that you need to tell it on the Exfabula stage at this point. And Bob and Virginia Pothier did just that during our How We Met, which took place in 2011, February, of course.
This ought to be good.
Oh, it is. It's something short of a Jerry Springer episode, except there's no fighting, and there's no stripper pole or anything like that. It's very classy.
Okay.
I am a sophomore in college, back in Arizona for the summer. And literally the day I'm waking, that morning I'm waking up, my first day back, Bruce, one of my good friends, is waking me. And he starts into this conversation, and he has this person he desperately wants me to meet. Perfect woman for me. And he talks about her and explains everything, and then he says those ill-fated words. She dated Dave. Now, I have known Dave since 4th grade, but Dave is a wild man, and he is out of control. And I said to Bruce that morning, if she has dated Dave, I don't want to have anything to do with her.
I'm a senior at Arizona State University when a good friend, Bruce, approaches me and says, I've got the perfect guy for you. He's funny, he's intelligent, he's into politics, his name's Bob Pothier, and he's a good friend of David's. The ill-fated words. I said, oh, no, 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 I know David's friends, and I am not interested.
As fate would have it, that very night that I get home, I'm at an ASU party, and talking to some friends, and another friend of mine, Craig, comes walking over with this beautiful woman. And he introduces her, Virginia Gifford. The very woman that Bruce was trying to line me up that morning. And so we kind of did this chit-chat thing, and then they left. And I had 2 thoughts as they walked away. First one was, how did Dave get someone so good-looking? And second, she's way out of my league.
Clearly, I'm at the same party, chatting with Craig, when Craig says, oh, my gosh, there's Bob Pothier. I haven't seen him in ages. And I'm thinking, Bob Pothier, that's that guy Bruce was trying to line me up with. So I said, take me over and introduce me to him. So he takes me over. We say hello, do a little chit-chat. And as I walk away, I think, wow, he is much cuter than any of David's friends.
It's exactly 1 month later, and I'm talking at a church. Now, I did this Peace Corps type assignment in Samoa, and I actually even spoke Samoan there. So I'll give you a little phrase, greeting phrase. Malo lava soifua would be a common greeting. So I'm at this church explaining kind of what I did and what some of my stories in Samoa, and little did I know, Virginia was in the choir seated behind me.
Now, they announced the next speaker, Bob Pothier, and I'm thinking, there is that name again. But I'm sitting behind him, and all I can see is the back of his head, and quite frankly, I couldn't really remember what he looked like. So what I'm about to say is a little strange, but as he spoke, what I experienced really defies explanation, so I'm not going to try. But I knew with every cell in my body that that was the man I was going to marry. So I figured I have to hang around after this meeting and chat with him.
So I'm talking with some friends afterwards, and I can see Virginia. There's this woman that I met a month ago standing at the edge of this kind of circle. So as people left, she comes up and she thanks me and tells me I did a good job. And I could tell that something's kind of different. I said, do you want to sit down and talk for a few minutes? Well, we sat down and we talked for over an hour, and it was one of those great conversations where everything just goes right and you get in this rhythm, and it was amazing, and something changed. And as I walked away, and I walked home that day, and I walked into my house and my mom's cooking in the kitchen, and she can see that something's wrong or different, and she says, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I just met the most amazing woman.
Now, when I left our discussion, I was on my way to my girlfriend's house. Her name's Tracy. And I didn't want to be one of those people who later in life said, you know what, I kind of knew. I was really kind of certain. I just thought, I need witnesses. So I told Tracy. I said, Tracy, I met the guy I'm going to marry. I went home. I told my mom. I wrote it in my journal. I mean, that's how strongly I felt it.
So that was a Sunday. On Monday, I call her to ask her out for Friday when she says yes. But as it turns out, we're together Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, where I meet her mom, she meets my parents, we get into all these conversations, but nothing physical. No kiss, no hand-holding, no nothing. That changed on Friday.
And then he turns over to me. Little background, okay, so I'm attending ASU, but I'm living with my mom. She had gone through a really ugly divorce, and somehow I kind of became her caretaker. So when Bob says to me, you know, do you want to go out on Friday? I said, sure. Is there any way that my mom could go with us on our first date? And he won brownie points when he said yes. So we went to an early matinee, and there's mom beside me in the dark. She's on one side, Bob's on the other, and that's the first time he holds my hand.
It is, for some reason, it didn't seem weird. now, in hindsight, yes, but at the time, for some reason, it didn't. Now, the mom thing only lasted for the movie, and we dropped her off. And so as we're sitting there in the car after having dropped her off, I turned to her and I said, I don't want that awkward end of the night thing, so I'm going to do this now. And I leaned over and kissed her. And it was a first kiss you would want to have. And it was great. And it set the tone for the rest of the night. And we hit three different jazz clubs in the Phoenix area that night and ended up at a Bob's Big Boy at 2 in the morning. And finally, when I left her at 4 in the morning, our 12-hour marathon date, I knew that was the person I wanted to be with.
I know, so mushy, right? I'm head over heels, crazy about this guy. Tuesday, I'm driving to school, ASU, and on the freeway, this car behind me is honking like crazy. And then they pull up beside me, and they're honking like crazy. And I'm thinking, what nut job? And I turn over, and I look out my window, and there is Mark, the guy I've been dating for a year and a half. See, he was out of town for 2 weeks. When I met Bob. And honestly, it was so strong and fast and furious that it eclipsed every thought in my mind. And I swear, if there was a Bible here, I promise you, I forgot I had a boyfriend. So he's waving me over, and there on the side of the freeway, kind of have to explain. I met somebody, and he's like, I've only been gone 2 weeks. And so he says, a year and a half, we need closure. And I said, okay, you're right. So we were supposed to have lunch, so I go to have lunch with Bob, and in a very tearful conversation, I said, we have to break up. And I explained the Mark thing, and he was remarkably understanding. He said, I just wanted to check because we had dinner plans for tonight. Are those on or are they off now? And I said, oh, we can go ahead and do dinner. That's not a problem. But after dinner, then we're broken up.
So that night, I go over to her house, and I expect we're going to have some kind of conversation about this. What I did not expect is to walk into a Jerry Springer episode. And let me give you this situation. Tracy, we referred to earlier, had learned that her boyfriend of 5 years had just gotten another woman pregnant. And she was over Virginia's house, sobbing hysterically and inconsolable. And Virginia's two sisters were there, her mom was there, everyone was there, and it was really a drama. And everyone was in Virginia's mom's room on her bed trying to console Tracy. Well, I know the things have now changed, okay? So whatever I had in mind was had gone, and I said, I'll just go with it. Well, as the evening progressed, Virginia and I ended up at the foot of the bed on the floor just talking amongst ourselves. And I don't know what preceded this for me to say this, but I said, I would do anything to make you happy. And at that point, she said, then marry me. And I said, this wasn't the circumstances I wanted to ask you, but will you marry me? So 10 days after our conversation, and at the foot of the bed with all these people in the room, she said yes.
I know I sound really bipolar at this moment. Because at noon, I broke up with him. And 8 hours later, I accept his proposal, which was kind of my proposal, wasn't it? But, if you were there, it was just right, and I felt it, and he knew it, and Mark was going to just have to get used to it. But I know there's a difference between engagement and marriage, so we did the next logical, reasonable thing, and we set a date to get married 6 weeks later.
So here we are, 8 weeks after we had our first conversation, and it may not surprise you that we invited Mark to the reception. And it might not surprise you that Mark showed up to the reception. And he completely ignored me and went straight for Virginia.
Look, I was glad Mark showed up. I'm all about break bread and kumbaya, and that's great. I didn't notice that he blew past Bob, and we had a little hug and good luck, and I'm happy for you. And then as he walked away, he turned back and he said, by the way, when this doesn't work out, call me. I'm happy to report 25 years later, I've never made that call. Yeah.
And it's probably a good thing because Mark has been with his partner, Jeff, for the last 23.
And that was Bob and Virginia Pothier telling their How We Met story in relation to love, lust, and murder.
An interesting show coming up on January 24th. If you can make it down to Anodyne, of course, all the Ex-Fabula folks will be there. Folks on the radio station are going to be there because we're recording the show. So a couple of reasons to stop by and say, hey.
Eh.
Because we're all going to be there.
Yep.
Saturday the 24th for Love, Lust, Murder, live music, live storytelling.
Oh, it sounds so dramatic. I don't want people to be let down when they get there. Yeah, like, wait.
It's trying to sell it, that's all.
Let's just add in one little teeny, like, I want to call it an ultra short in the middle of a whole story that was told a while ago at a Terminal Milwaukee event. And it has to do with lust and such. It's only a minute long, and it's from Marvin Pratt. So here's his like little lusty moment in the middle of a Termin Milwaukee story.
I met my wife, Diane, at Center Street Library. It's at 2620 West Center. Now it's the Black Historical Society. And I remember going in. I was going to Marquette at the time, and this lady who lives down the street from me right now, Mira Suttle, said, I want you to meet this real nice young lady. And Diane came downstairs. I just, for you men in the audience, I just come back from service, right? And when she came downstairs, she was looking all angelic and nice and all that stuff. And I remember the lady asked me, she said, do you like her, Mr. Pratt? And I said, yeah, she's a nice girl, but I'm looking for one of these fast women. I said, I just came back from service. I don't know if I really want a real one. Now, 40, we've been married 40 years. We've been married 40 years.
And that was Marvin Pratt. It's such a cute little like moment. Yeah, he just dropped his bags and was like, I'm looking for something a little bit different right about now. But then, you know, being married for 40 years, I mean, come on, it's awesome.
That's great stuff.
So, you know, not only we can talk about Panallure, our event on Saturday, we also have another event coming up on the 25th.
Yes. I mean,
it's a secret, not so secret, Fabula, members only event. If you have not become a member, you might want to consider doing so before the event on Sunday the 25th. It's going to be at the Hen House / Brass Rooster, which is a haberdashery here in lovely Bayview. I'm going to hear some background stories and secrets behind the owners and the actual store itself. And I believe you also get like a little bit of a cocktail along with your stories that day.
Well, and this is for members only, but it's not an exclusive club because anyone can join quite easily.
Yep. What's that Groucho Marx quote? That
I wouldn't belong to any club that would have me as a member.
Exactly. I knew you'd be able to pull that out. Except for Exfabula. I believe that was the caveat at the end of that.
But, you know, instructions on how to become a member are at exfabula.com.
They certainly are, Bruce.
And we can sign up on Friday and then go to the Secret Fabula event on Sunday.
Yes, but we're going to see everybody on Saturday anyway. So,
sounds good. All right.
All right.
Thank you again, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Thank you.
All right.